It's Halloween.
Yeah, sure is. What are your plans?
I'm hoping kids stop by my house for candy. That's my hope.
Are you inviting the kids?
Like, no, is your you house don't invite. It, so I think my house is inviting, but last year was my first Halloween in my house. Mm. It was also COVID Halloween.
Sure was.
So no one came by. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I'm one of those houses where kids don't come by. I don't know. I live in a neighborhood with kids. So I don't even know. Like last year, I didn't see any activity.
Yeah, maybe you should leave a trail of candy corns to your door.
Maybe no, that doesn't bring children.
That'll bring tacky adults.
I don't know
that what like candy corn.
First of all, I love candy corn.
I hate candy corn.
I love candy corn. First of all,
how do you like candy corn?
I love candy
you
corn.
You who like are so particular about everything.
Yes. Candy corn falls right in line with my style of things, right? It's just one consistent thing throughout. It's not a candy bar with nougat and caramel and peanuts and pretzels. It's just one consistent thing throughout.
It's three colors. Isn't each of the colors something different inside?
No, that is just trickery. That's marketing. Mm. It's just one thing throughout.
One nasty thing throughout.
I enjoy candy corn. It's very predictable for me. I like my experience with candy corn. All again, right. Candy bars. Now they're making I used to love Reese's. Now they're making Reese's with pretzels in them. They're making Reese's with potato chips in them.
So they're getting carried away.
You're taking things too far. It's too many ingredients and textures happening at one time. With candy corn, it's always smooth sailing.
All right. When you were trick-or-treating back in the day.
Yes.
What was your favorite candy to receive?
Skittles.
Skittles.
Skittles or Starburst?
The little bag, or would you ever get the big bag?
Nobody wants that. That's irresponsible. Parents, you're irresponsible for giving out full-size bags of candy, but just a little bag of Skittles.
Go to the right neighborhood. You might come up.
Yeah, no, the right neighborhoods give you candy bars. They give you Reese's, Three Musketeers, things like that.
I used to like the big blow pop. You hit the jackpot if you went to a crib and they gave you the big blow pop.
Yeah, that definitely means you had cavities growing up. Like, blow pops are you're sucking on sugar for an extended period of time.
Skittles, where you're crushing the sugar into your teeth.
It's quick. It's a quick thing.
It is not
quick. You have to commit to sugar for a long period of time with especially the large blow pop.
Yeah, but you're mainly sucking it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, either way. So what are you doing for Halloween? You have three children, so they should be active for you.
I'm kind of looking forward to them wanting to chill. Halloween's always cold. Like, I'm not trying to be out there, but...
Well, your children are old enough to go trick-or-treating on their own. At least your oldest.
Yeah, you know...
You were not trick-or-treating with your parent at 16 years old.
You know the modern parent, that's 2021 parent. Like, we hover. So, last year, I'm in the car riding behind them. Yeah.
If I had a 16-year-old... And you have a 16-year-old. Well, I'm not even going to call him a boy because he's a grown, large, sizable guy.
Let me just say I'm the smallest man in the house right now.
So your 16-year-old, if he rang my doorbell, I'd be more concerned
Are you really a kid?
Right. Do you want money or candy?
Yeah. My 12-year-old, though, is same height as me. Bigger shoes than me.
Your 12-year-old, though, just gives off of just a young face. He's just a bright, young. Your oldest is also bright and young, but he's
got
sizable.
A beard coming in now.
Yeah. Can you get free candy with a beard?
Yeah, he shaves.
With facial hair?
He shaves. So
I think he's
passing.
Aging out.
He's passing.
Or they might think it's part of the costume.
Speaking of kids. We recently had an Instagram post.
Yeah, no. We recently had an Instagram follower reach out to us and ask for a special request for a show.
Mm-hmm.
Please know if you guys reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram, or any of our platforms and say there's something in particular that you want us to talk about, we will often talk about it. And I say that because there are some topics that people have asked us to talk about.
We ain't talking about that.
We're not talking about them.
Nah.
They're just not... They just weren't solid. They just weren't. Or they were speculation driven, right? So it was like, can you talk about what they said was about to happen? Like, no, that's not a real thing.
Or they're like low-key sliding in Tiffany's DMs.
No, this is on the really... Momentum, all Momentum Advisors platforms. I don't receive any type of show. I don't receive like, hey, can we talk about this type of thing on my personal platform?
You know, they're like, yo, can we talk about us going on a date on the show?
No, so that's the other thing. So I don't know about anybody else's DMs, but I think the sliding, what guys think happens when people slide in women's DMs, it's not what you think. Like, it's not, no one's asking you out on a date, at least not in my DMs. They're not directly asking me out on a date. They're like just flirting, which in my mind, I don't think you should virtually flirt. Like, I think flirting is reserved for in person. It's like,
just so you want them to be more direct.
Tell me what you want.
Like, yo, I am trying to hit it.
Not saying that, but I'm saying like, specifically with Instagram, if someone slides in your DMs that you don't know, you've got to accept the request. Like, if I've got to do all this extra stuff, tell me what you want versus, and I don't mean like that forward, but like, it's like,
tell me what you want.
I listen to your show and I know I fit the bill. Like, you fit the bill for what? For insurance?
Are you a contractor?
Right. Like, what are you talking about?
You need your clothes dry cleaned?
It gets very, right. It gets very like, or they do that, or they'll just like constantly send messages, like constantly about everything that you've ever said in a podcast episode. Like, I thought that was funny too. Like, what are you talking about?
I think
about?
That's in the spirit of
subtlety.
No, it's the stalker on Netflix. What's that show called with Joe? You. In the spirit of you.
No. That doesn't... No.
Yeah, I've been watching you, girl. All right, so in the spirit of...
In the spirit of
Halloween and kids.
DMs, but Halloween and kids, yeah. So we did get an Instagram follower who specifically was saying, listen, I listen to your shows, and I think, you know, if I were to listen to every single one of them, they're very helpful. But can you do a show dedicated to what are some of the things that you need to do from a financial perspective as a parent or as you're preparing to have children? As you're thinking about having children, starting to have children, or just a parent, what are some of the things that I need to do to make sure my children are financially prepared and that I'm doing all the things? What are all the options I need to consider as a parent or soon to be parent?
Have you noticed that there's an uptick in pregnancies in the
Instagram
community?
I know you keep saying this.
Community?
In the Instagram, no.
Have you noticed
Not
this?
On my Instagram. Everybody's Instagram is different.
In my community,
Alan has
uptick.
Been saying, and Alan barely goes on Instagram. Well, let's start there.
All right.
In
when
your
I say
social
Instagram,
media.
It's really Facebook.
Exactly. Like, Meta.
It's old school.
Meta.
Yeah, I'm on Meta.
Yeah. So on your Meta feed.
Yeah. No, a lot of people having kids. Like, I think folks were quarantined, and folks were very productive during this quarantine, many of which are now showing the results. I'm seeing people having their third, second, fourth kid. I'm seeing folks that are having their first kid in their 40s. I'm just seeing an uptick in pregnancies in my own world. And then I went to the stats and I see that at the beginning of COVID, pregnancies dropped, but then there's been a big spike in pregnancies.
I mean,
recently.
People have been sitting at home with nothing else to do.
Yeah.
I will tell you in my feed, I'm not seeing this.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing the pregnancies.
Because you got too
feed.
Many hot girls.
Listen,
on your feed.
And we're outside.
Yeah.
Okay. And
for
even
now,
when we were inside, we weren't getting pregnant.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just, some of them are. They just haven't.
I think you, I don't know. Everybody, I don't want to have that conversation.
Okay. First of all, you have a goddaughter.
Yeah.
Who just became a big god sister.
True.
Right. Like that's a baby.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
That's not in my feed. I don't even follow her.
Oh my God. I'm saying in your life. Okay. You have a business partner in one of our gyms. Who just had their first kid.
I was just getting ready to say, are you trying to tell me something?
No, they just had their first kid.
Yes. They've been trying to have a kid forever.
Okay.
This wasn't like a COVID
spike.
Phenomenon.
It's a spike.
It's not a spike.
Okay.
You know?
So let's talk about what parents should be doing to make sure that their kids are going to be straight. They're baby kids.
Baby kids. No, first, I don't even know. Do people even know what baby kids
baby
are?
Kids is...
I mean, I know your generation knows. My generation knows. But I don't think the other generations know.
All right. Homework. Go look up baby kids if you haven't heard of this. Okay. First, these are like the basic things. Like, we're going to go through these really quickly because we've talked about these things ad nauseum. Number one, you've got to have an emergency fund. It's the same if you're a parent or not a parent.
But I think it is different, right? Like, I think you have to have an emergency fund if you're single or like if you don't have children, right? That's different because you want to make sure you're good if your furnace goes out or if you need new tires or whatever the case is that really only impacts you. But I think when you're a parent, you... Mm-hmm. really need to have an emergency fund, because if something happens with your child, you want to be able to take care of it. Like, you don't want them to be like, you're fine as an individual being in a desperate situation. Like, listen, I'm broke. I ain't got it. I'm gonna have to ride on this donut for the next 3 weeks until I get paid and can put a real tire on it. Like, things like that. Like, listen, my tooth chipped. I'm gonna just keep taking Ambisol until I can afford to hit the dentist. Like, you're fine taking those L's as an adult, but when it's your child, it's not possible. And if you've got to get those prescriptions, if somebody broke a thing, if you've got to, you know, do all the things, you cannot wait around. And you also don't want to put yourself in a bad financial strain trying to pay for these emergencies that often happen when you have children.
And then there's the law. There's this thing called the Family Medical Leave Act. It requires that employers give their workers 12 weeks of unpaid leave for a pregnancy. Now, hold on.
Wait a minute.
Unpaid leave.
I don't like
for
that.
For 3 months. How are you going to pay your bills?
Wait a minute. I don't like this. So is this real?
We're one of
Wait,
few.
I'm sorry. I need to dial this back.
Yeah.
You have children. Pregnancy leave. Maternity leave.
The requirement, the legal requirement is 12 weeks of unpaid leave.
That's not what I'm asking.
Some employers might opt to give paid leave.
So is maternity leave unpaid?
Yeah.
I have always assumed that maternity leave. Then I just left. Like, it's not maternity leave. I can do whatever I want to do if you're not going to pay me. It could be Miami leave if you're not going to pay me.
No, but they're required to keep your job waiting for you. Like, that's the requirement. Like, you can leave for 3 months.
Stop playing.
We've got to keep...
But you don't get paid?
No.
Then why do I? This is
That's no, why you
minute.
Need your emergency
wait a
fund.
Wait a minute.
This is what we're talking
I'm
about,
being very
Tiffany.
Serious. I am in shock right now. So maternity leave. So clearly I'm pregnant. Clearly I'm walking through this office or I'm on these Zooms super pregnant, right? And you are telling me that, oh, you're going to take your maternity leave and we're not going to pay you. You have
Correct.
3 months.
Yo, you have... Dry cleaners. You have multiple women having babies right now. Do you pay?
That's
for their time off?
First of all, they're hourly employees. That's different. I mean,
it's
if I'm
no
a salaried
different.
Employee, because if you're an hourly employee, you could just take off. It doesn't matter if you're having a baby or not.
The requirement, though, the legal requirement.
You can
is that
say, listen, I'm going to be gone for 12 weeks. It's really none of my business because I'm not paying you. I don't care if you're having a baby or not. I thought maternity leave meant I get paid leave.
Doesn't.
For a specific period of time. That's the whole point of it being called maternity leave.
So
then we need to stop. We need to just call it. I'm gone.
Leave.
I'm calling till I get back. Mind your business.
So some employers do have a certain amount of paid maternity leave. Often women end up using their vacation days. Like, I used to work at Goldman. They used to give us a week of paid paternity leave. Like, 1 week.
Right.
Right. Often women end up using their disability. They file for disability while they're pregnant.
This is why people don't like this country.
Yeah, there's a lot
this
of countries.
This is like borderline disgusting.
There was literally a Facebook post this week.
Meta.
Of all the... Sorry, it's still Facebook, okay?
It was Facebook when they posted it.
Oh my God. The post was like, here are all the countries that don't have paid medical leave for pregnancies. US, it was like Guatemala. It was like all these like...
I've got to go out on disability. Now I'm disabled, right? Like, I've got to define myself as disabled and take my disability leave to go and have a child. Here's the thing. I know it, like, in these corporate workspaces, they throw like work, baby showers and things like that. And they, you know, give you gifts and stuff. Don't give me shit. If you're going to make me, if you're not going to pay me for having, if I am your employee for however long, right? Don't celebrate my maternity leave if y'all are not going to allow me paid time off and I've got to now label myself as disabled to receive any type of income to have a child.
Yeah.
If y'all want to throw me a work baby shower, put my salary in it. Put some income in it.
Yeah. So here's the list. Out of all the United Nations countries, right? This includes some poor countries and some wealthy countries. Here's the list of countries that don't have paid maternity leave. The United States, Suriname, and Papua New Guinea.
Right. Places ain't nobody going.
Like
but
that.
The United States.
Yeah.
We're going to move on from
so
this because we can't solve this
problem.
You've
got to have some emergency
but
funds.
That's not even an emergency fund. Now, we're outside of that. You need to just have a baby fund.
Yeah, that's a fact. But I'll tell you, like, real talk. So one of my best friends just told me that when he was young, he and his mom were homeless and he was living on a park bench for a while. He didn't know any better because he was a kid and he thought it was just like a sleepaway. But it really shows that like our country does not make preparations for pregnant women.
So we say all that to say you have to make your own preparations. So first things first, you do need to ask your employer. You need to find out about your benefits package. You need to know if your maternity leave is paid or if you even have maternity leave. If they're not paying you, it's not maternity leave. I'm telling you right now, thankfully, I don't have an employer. Like I don't have a boss, but and I'm not having children. But if both of those things decided to happen and I don't have paid maternity leave, I'm taking 3 months off regularly whenever I feel like it. You're not going to pay me anyway. Like it's kind of ridiculous, but you do need to speak to your employer and find out if your maternity leave is paid and how much of it is paid. And if you need to file disability, do you have disability? Like these are things if you are an emerging or soon to be parent or considering having your first child, these are things that you should think about first. Unfortunately, I hate that you have to think about like maternity leave if you want to have a child.
Yeah, no, you got to think about it. Next is, again, these are basic things. We'll go through these really quickly. You've got to have life insurance and disability insurance. And life insurance really needs to be at least 20 years of term, right? Like if your kid is first born, you want to make sure you're covering them through at least the first 20 years.
And the formula is 20 years times your salary, right? So like that's how much income they are going to expect to benefit from for the next 20 years. Mm-hmm. So it can't be, you know, your job likes to offer you three times your salary.
And you think that's enough.
That's not enough.
Yeah, it's not enough.
And this life insurance needs to be outside of your employer because as we are continuing to realize these employers don't care about us, some of them. And so if you leave that job, no matter how long you've been paying into that insurance policy, there's a 98% chance that if you leave that job, you no longer have life insurance. So you need to have life insurance outside of your employer, and it needs to be 20 times your income. And that sounds like insane to you, but honestly, depending on your age, it could be extremely, extremely affordable.
Yeah, if you make 100K, that's 2 million.
Yeah.
Like that's, and that's like not that expensive to get, and I think it's mandatory.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I got $1 million policy and it's $70-something a month.
Yeah, that's peanuts.
Yeah.
You spend that on
diapers.
I was gonna say you spend
baby wipes.
On the cumulative cost of all your online streaming services.
What's that thing that you parents like? It's like it's where you throw things away?
The diaper genie. Yeah, which I stopped using after the first
kid. Is it nasty? What's wrong with the diaper genie?
Like, you know,
just throw it in the trash?
Just throw it in the trash.
But isn't that stinky for the rest of your house?
Isn't the point of the diaper genie?
I
would run it outside.
But if you're a mom, if you're a new mom, you don't have time to be running outside. You got babies on your hip.
Okay.
You need a diaper genie.
Tell a life hack. After a while, like by the time I had my third kid,
yeah, at that point,
I just put a garbage can under the window in the back of the house and I just dropped that joint in there.
Under the window.
Yeah, that's what I did. That was my diaper genie.
Slightly trifling.
Yeah. Okay.
Get the diaper genie, y'all.
Yeah, fine.
I'm buying diaper genies, matter of fact. Moving forward,
It's a waste of money. It's a complete waste of money.
It would be horrible to have your house smelling like...
Run it outside.
Who... Run it outside. Only a dad would say that. Like, your nipples are hurting.
Oh, my gosh.
You got babies throwing up. And now, let me go run this outside real quick. No. Hey, moms. Y'all aren't my friends.
Open the window. Just toss it out.
To anybody that I know who is having a baby, like that I know for real, that's having a baby, diaper genie.
Okay.
Can
I tell you a real diaper genie story? When you put the diapers in there, it still stinks.
But it doesn't keep the smell.
It doesn't really secure it.
Smells.
That's why I started taking them outside. Like so, it doesn't help.
My standard baby shower gift. Can I just tell you the baby shower gift that I give for all baby showers?
Okay.
The boppy.
Okay.
Do you know what a boppy is?
Yeah, the thing that helps them sit up.
The pillowy thing?
Yeah.
I always thought, because what I realized, you got to buy the boppy and then it doesn't come with a cover.
Oh my God.
So the cover, the boppy and the boppy cover.
Yeah, they're getting you. As a parent, we use this thing once.
Really?
And they would be like, yo, this is whack. And it ends up being tossed
to the reason
side.
Why I buy the boppy is because I genuinely wish there was an adult size. It looks so comfortable.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, yo, as a baby, that's got to be the illest lay down alive. And if they had one for adults, I would get one.
Okay.
But let me at least luxuriate the baby.
Yeah.
With the boppy.
Yeah.
But now I'm giving out diaper genies.
Yeah, which is basically a septic tank for kids.
Facts.
Yeah. So
everybody needs a septic. Well, p- Most people have city sewage.
Right, fine. Yeah,
we're not talking about the right things. Okay, yeah. So we've talked about life insurance. We clearly talked about disability insurance because you can't go have your baby at most employers if you don't have disability insurance. Even if your job does have maternity leave, it's very important for you to have disability insurance because if something does happen, right, like in your pregnancy or outside of your pregnancy, you and your child are now super reliant on your income. Again, it's no longer just you. You can't go stay at your homegirl's house. You can't just thug it out. Like, you have someone else to care for. And so in the case that you do get hurt and there is some sort of issue where you cannot work for a period of time, you need to have disability insurance.
Facts. And then the final thing on our simple part of the list, and we'll get to the more advanced things next, retirement. You got to make sure you're saving for your own retirement because there's nothing worse than a parent who ends up needing to mooch off his kids later in life.
I wouldn't say mooch, but like you want to...
Call it what it is.
You're trying to set your children up for financial success. You don't want to become a financial liability for them later in life. And
mooch.
So if you have your own... Not mooch. If you have your own retirement taken care of, you can retire without being a major expense on them. And so they can live their life fully. So... Okay, we started with the very bare bones basics of what you need to have in place financially for responsible parenting. If you are a parent or if you're considering having a child or if you have one on the way, come back and stick with us because we're going to get into the more sophisticated things, I guess.
More in-depth things. Little meat.
Maybe some of the things you haven't thought about or maybe we haven't talked about as much. So I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we are back.
Yes.
Do you have kids? Are you thinking about having kids or do you have one on the way?
Mm-hmm.
This episode talks about like what are the things financially that you want to have in place to make sure your kids are straight and that you're straight.
So before the break, we were talking about retirement. So one idea for saving for retirement is a Roth IRA. A Roth IRA allows your retirement savings to grow completely tax-free. So the biggest disadvantage to a Roth IRA is that there's income limits. So if you're single and you make over $140,000, you can't contribute. If you're married and you make over $208,000, you can't contribute. But the beauty of a Roth IRA is that low-key, it could also be used for college savings because at any time, no matter what your age is, you can take money out of your Roth IRA without any tax penalties at all. And that's even if you're under the age of 59 and a half. So if you've saved 100K in your Roth IRA and your kid's in college, you can now deduct, you can take that money out of that account and there's no penalties, no taxes, no complications. So it's kind of a way to save for your own retirement while low-key having some money set aside for college.
And the other life hack about the Roth IRA is that it's not counted for financial aid purposes.
Facts.
So when you are filling out your FAFSA and they're trying to figure out like how much you're eligible for, they do not include whatever is in your Roth IRA in kind of like your incomes and assets.
Facts. On the topic of retirement, you want to make sure that you add your child as a beneficiary on your retirement policies and your life insurance policies. Sometimes you forget, but you want to add them. Often we see if there's a married couple, the primary beneficiary is the spouse. The contingent beneficiary is the kid. If you're a parent and there is no spouse in your life or no significant other.
Or even if there is a spouse. You okay. Might just want it to go to your children directly. Like you might
fine.
Be like, Ron is going to be fine when I'm gone. He makes enough money. He's got money aside. But I want to make sure these assets go to my children without having to go to probate, without them having any issue.
Facts. One issue we see is that sometimes people leave their money to who they think is a responsible adult with the assumption that they're going to take care of their kid.
And Barbara's out there spending your money when you pass away.
Yeah,
and it's not ending up with your child.
Yeah, don't leave it to your grandparent, your parent, your... You know, folks that are way older than you or just folks that might get it twisted. And that happens. Like, I've definitely seen folks receive, you know, death benefits in the form of a retirement account, and they use it for themselves. Like, the tax implications are such that you're kind of required to, you know, pay tax on the money as you take it out. So, you know, I don't want to now give it away. I just had to pay tax on that money. So again, make your kid either the primary or the contingent beneficiary.
Next, also, once your kids start working, and this is clearly later in life, get them to contribute to a Roth IRA. There are tons of benefits when it comes to contributing to your retirement early. But again, like, can you imagine growth from like age 16 to 55 completely tax-free?
Oh, yeah, that's sweet. That's sweet. Plus, like, another, again, idea is if they're working and they're making minimum wage, and I'm sure you might want to let them spend a portion of their money or all their money, right? Why not you as the parent give them the parent match, right? So if they made $5,000 at their job, maybe you put $5,000 on their behalf into a Roth IRA. Because the only requirement with a Roth, you can't make more than a certain amount. Your kid's certainly not making that on his first job. And you have to have earned income. So why not give them the parent match once they start working? Next, let's talk about how kids get claimed on your income taxes.
So when you're telling the truth, right? So let's start there, right? You probably been claiming children on your income taxes for years before you've actually had them.
Our listeners would never.
I actually believe that. I believe that our listeners are responsible and they are not doing those things. I believe they know people who are doing those things. But at this point, you are having children, you have a child, and now you can actually claim them on your taxes.
There's a couple of tax credits that you're now eligible for. So first is the child tax credit. It used to be $2,000 per kid for any child under the age of 17. Our buddy Joe Biden got involved. It's now $3,600
okay.
per kid.
Okay, money back, Joe.
Make it rain.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people don't like Joe Biden, and I don't have children, so this tax credit doesn't benefit me, but $2,000 to $3,600, I think, is a meaningful difference.
Yeah, that's a fact. Next is the dependent care child tax credit. So this is if you pay money towards babysitting, towards after school care. There's a tax credit on any kid who is 12 or under. As long as you have earned income, right, you can now claim a credit for some of the expenses that you've paid towards their babysitting or aftercare.
So we're almost at $5,000 in some sort of child tax credit.
Yeah, that tax credit is over $1,000. So yeah, you're getting up there for one kid. And then finally, there's the adoption credit. This is for folks who adopted a kid and had to pay a lot of out-of-pocket expenses. You can get up to $14,440 towards your adoption expenses, a reimbursement in terms of tax credit.
I think that's super special. I've never adopted a child, but I do know that it's a fairly expensive thing to do. And so receiving a one-time tax credit of $14,440 is super meaningful. And also, there's an exclusion from income for any employer-provided adoption assistance. I know there are companies out there that help and assist in some sort of way when it comes to looking to adopt.
Yeah. My brother's adopted, by the way. Everybody knows it.
I'm getting ready to say, I hope he's comfortable with you putting his business in these streets.
Yeah. I love my brother. He's my blood.
That's, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I dated an adopted guy before.
Yeah. Was he, good with it? Like, did it mess him up?
No. Like, I mean, he knew by the time we started dating, he knew and was fully aware. But he had, like, the best parents ever. Like, first of all, you would not have known. Like, he actually looks like his parents. But he had the best parents ever. You know, I think adoption is something super special.
Oh, big time.
And I think, you know, when there are people who recognize they're not going to be able to provide for a child and they have the ability or they are willing to make the huge sacrifice to give that child up for adoption so that they can have a better life. Mm-hmm. I think that's huge. And I think that's very mature because I think it's a difficult thing to do. And then for the parents who are excited about taking a child in to love on them and take care of them for the rest of their life, you know, even if it's not financially for the rest of their life, but you're supporting them for the rest of their life, I think all of it is just super special.
I will tell you, some of the best parents I know are adoptive parents. One of my good friends, same-sex couple, they've adopted like 3 kids and they've been just like model parents. So, yep, there's a lot of tax benefits also on top of that. Next, you got to add your kid to your health insurance. And also, you should think about contributing to the health savings account. The health savings account, it's often underappreciated. Like, people don't really think about this account a lot. It's an account that you can use if you have a high deductible health insurance plan. And high deductible, by the way, is defined as any plan where there's a deductible of at least $1,400 if you're an individual, or $2,800 with a family plan. If that's your deductible, you can put money into a HSA, a health savings account. And this is an account that allows for tax deductible contributions towards healthcare expenses. And if you don't spend the money, it can grow and you can spend it in a future year. It's a great account. Now, for a new parent, there's going to be a lot of doctor visits.
Yeah.
There might be some need for breast pumps and little things.
Diaper genies.
Oh my God.
You got to get a diaper genie.
Formula.
A boppy.
You can count. I don't know about a boppy, but I'm saying there's a lot of expenses that can be used towards getting
a milk
money
warmer
out of that HSA account.
I'm really fascinated with a lot of these, like the things that moms need when they have a newborn. I'm like, I know you guys need them for sure, but I do feel like they should have an adult version of some of these things, like the milk warmer. I think.
What's the equivalent? Is the microwave not the equivalent of?
Like, it's just nice to have a milk warmer that you,
you
just
don't
put
even
the bottles
milk
in. I drink almond milk.
Oh my God.
And just.
You drink it cold. You drink it.
But maybe I drink it warm if I had a milk warmer.
Okay. I'm going to buy you a milk warmer.
Or, so I have a really great friend who,
what's happening
when they had a baby, I bought the thing. It looks like you lay the baby on it and you strap them on it. So you lay them on it stomach down. Okay. You strap them on it and it like rocks them. You know how many adults need to be rocked to sleep?
Oh my God.
I'm telling you right now, if I had a thing I could lay on and it would just rock me to sleep, a lot of adults, I think, like, there'd be less violence in the world if we had some of these things as adults. You know what I mean? Like something to rock you to sleep at night, a milk warmer.
Your DMs are about to be filled with dudes trying to rock you to sleep.
I don't want to, no, it's like soft. It's like a cocoon of a thing. And I think it's awesome. You're not like, I think it's, again, these are things that as you get older, like, you still need this type of nurturing.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm telling you right now, if I could walk in the house at night after work and climb up into this thing, this soft pillow.
Not a bed.
No, because pillows don't rock. I mean, beds don't rock you to sleep. You lay on the thing, stomach down, and you're like elevated. I'm strapped in and it's just like a subtle rock me to sleep. Come on.
Okay.
Come on. All we need these things.
Yeah, I don't know if
somebody who's looking to become an entrepreneur. Definitely. But somebody who's like, you know, builds things, inventors, looking for the next big business model. Okay. Create some of these things for adults.
Okay. Yeah. And the HSA allows you to contribute up to $3,650 per year if you're an individual, or $7,300 for family coverage. And one day you might be able to pay for an adult rocker.
Come on.
Okay. On the note of these accounts you can use to get some tax deductions on expenses you're going to have anyway, there's also the flexible spending account for dependent care. Now, not every employer offers this, but often large employers will offer this special account that allows you to put up to $5,000 per year away for childcare expenses for kids under the age of 13. And this is a tax deduction you can get directly from your paycheck that allows you to spend money on babysitting, childcare expenses, after school care, all that stuff.
So realistically, I know we mentioned this earlier, but I am going to mention it again. You really need to sit down with your employer and find out what benefits are fully available to you. I think, like, with a lot of us, you just assume maternity leave, and which I have recently found out is trash. But just, you know, not only understanding the full benefits of your maternity leave, but asking about some of these flexible spending accounts, HSA, like, what are all the things that are available? Not just the thing that I think I already know about. I'm thinking about having a baby, or I'm clearly pregnant, specifically HR, not the chick who sits next to you in the cubicle, like, because she don't know either. What are all of the things that this company offers me as a new mom, as someone who has a new dependent on the way? From my insurance plan to my life insurance down to, again, my maternity leave.
So, also important, you've got a new baby. This kid's going to need some education one day.
One day.
Save for college.
Listen, so, to be honest with you, y'all need to save for kindergarten. Y'all are, like, these private programs, these, you know, there's a lot of private school happening a lot earlier, I feel like.
Yeah.
And so, yes, you definitely want to save for college, but you really need to just start saving for school as early as possible.
That's a fact. Yeah, a lot of people end up spending way more on pre-college than college. Like, yeah, my kids are in, have been in private school for their whole lives. And yeah, I definitely could have sent somebody to college. Off
seriously. And I was just talking to a friend this morning and she's in the same boat. She has two children who've been in private schools, like very high in private schools forever. She's moving. And you know, one of the kids is a senior, a high school senior. So it is what it is on that. But you know, with her younger child, she's moving and she was like, part of this move is me not having to pay for private school. Mm-hmm. Like I'm moving into a district with better public schools and I need that money so that I can actually put some money towards college.
And then you get into the new district and your kid has a horrible experience and you end up paying for private school, even though you're paying for higher real estate taxes in the town with the better
school
system.
I think that's
system.
A person by person experience.
That happens. Here's I'm telling
thing.
You.
I know it happens. I know I'm aware that it has happened. And this is coming from a non-parent. I just don't know how much I believe in kids having bad experiences at school. And what I mean is, are kids supposed to like school? Like now, if you're getting bullied and punched in the face and like they're stealing your food every day, that's a different thing.
That's a fact.
But if they just don't like their teachers, like I don't really care. That's not really my problem. Like I will say I liked school. I liked all of school all the time. And I did have bad days. And there were days where I was trying to make up excuses to get my parents not to send me to school. But ultimately, I don't know if I ever knew I had a choice not to just think this was a great school experience. Like, so what?
So here's my experience in this, right? So I'm a public school kid. My siblings were all public school. You and I went to the same public school.
I was getting ready to
say
that.
Okay.
Shout out to them. I loved those schools.
We sent my oldest to public school. And in fact, the principal was one of my old teachers because I live in the same town where I grew up. And it was very good in terms of the teachers. It was very good in terms of the kids. Would you believe the lunch ladies were so mean that my kid got traumatized? Like he was not eating his lunch every day. He was starving when he came home. The lunch ladies and men were yelling and screaming and blowing whistles so loud he developed a stutter. Like it got really bad. Now look, I'm not saying this is all public school,
right? And like,
but I'm saying, hold on, let me finish the story. Okay, so I was like, look, we gonna have to just, you know, get him ready. Like he just needs to get through some adversity. Okay,
deal with it.
But you know, then your spouse starts to cry. Okay, when they start crying, that's when it's like, all right, flag on the play.
Flag on the play for Let's sure. Move. Like both parents have to be on board with how the children are being raised. And I get
so, that. So now you've got your one kid, you've moved them to another school. Now the next kid comes along and it's like, I don't want to put them through that. So let's put them in school so they could be in school together. It's convenient.
He might not respond the same way to the lunch lady.
Okay, fine, but I'm saying.
Or maybe y'all need to run up on these lunch ladies. If the principals, if the students are good, the teachers are good, I'm not about to let these lunch ladies run down on my child. Like maybe I've just got to resolve that issue. Or maybe the other child won't have such a visceral response.
We tried.
Alan, you're not the run down on a lunch lady type of guy.
We all know. I will.
You'll be like, hey, ma'am, would you mind being.
I was like, can y'all please
exactly.
stop yelling?
Exactly.
But either way, like you look up and next thing you know, your all three kids have been in private school for their entire careers because of one set of lunch ladies. So save for college. So here goes the beauty of saving for college early, right? The earlier you start, like we talked about.
I don't even remember a lunch lady in school.
Yeah.
Do you remember your lunch? I mean, they were the ladies who like served you food behind the counter.
When I think about lunch, I think about Butter Crunch cookies. That was my thing.
And we had Snapple.
Yeah.
We had Snapple in our high school. But I don't know if I even remember like a lunch lady experience.
Yeah, well, that's good. You're fortunate in that regard. So here's the beauty of saving for college. The earlier you start, you can benefit from compound interest, which is where the money resides.
For sure.
If you haven't listened to that show.
You really need to listen to that show.
So the earlier you start, the less money you have to save. So if you start at age zero and your goal is to get to $100,000 that's just put away for college and you're investing that money. Like I'm not just saying save it. Right, I'm saying invest it also. And if you can get a 7% interest rate or 7% return, right, and you'll get that from a diversified portfolio, here's how much you've got to save to get $100,000. So if you start at age zero, you've got to save only $2,900 per year, and you'll get to age 18 with $100,000.
Wait, quick question. Just bear with me.
Okay. Oh
my God. Does anyone ever say their child is age zero? And what I mean is, like, you know, y'all parents are very like, yeah, my child's say, 3 hours old,
yeah,
my child's
3 months,
8 days old,
6 months,
16 weeks old, 108 weeks old.
27 weeks. Yeah,
right.
You say all that
are
stuff.
You ever age zero?
Okay.
At that point, my child is 5 minutes old.
Okay. You understand. So, y'all, the listeners understand.
Yeah. So when your child is 5 minutes old, if you start saving $2,900 a year, right?
You'll have 100K.
You'll have saved 52K. But with growth, right, with a moderate return of 7% a year compounded, you'll actually have $100,000.
Yeah, $48,000 of growth.
Yeah.
If you wait until they're age five, now you've got to save almost 5K per year. You will have saved $64,000.
That's 258 weeks. When your child is 258 weeks.
She's good with the math, though. Okay.
How do we make it on the show? Clearly.
Okay.
Right?
I can't do that. Okay. I cannot.
But yeah, if you're starting at age five, if you start saving just probably a little bit under $5,000 a year, so $4,965 a year, you will have saved $64,000, but you will have seen an additional growth of $36,000. Which will bring you to $100,000 by the age of 18.
Absolutely. You start at age 10. Now you're up to almost $10,000 a year you've got to save.
Right. Your child is now 520 weeks old.
Oh my God. You're good with the math.
So,
wow.
At 520 weeks old.
What about age 11? How many weeks old are they?
572 weeks old.
I might have to fact check that, but that sounds really close at a minimum. And then if you wait until the kid is already 15, now you're saving $31,000 a year.
Right. And then this feels like extreme pressure. And we get a lot of listeners who are like, listen, my child is considering college or looking at college applications. And so now we're starting to plan for college.
Way too late.
And that is just a burden that is just, it's just a lot, right? It's a lot on your shoulders. Colleges are extremely expensive. Typically, when we talk to these listeners, their children want to go to like these elaborate schools. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot to think about. What we're saying is, first of all, start early so that it's more digestible for you and it's not a huge financial burden for your everyday life. But also, and this is the thing that I think people miss out on so often, is that they take on the responsibility of saving for college by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you'll get, for every birthday party, you'll take the sweaters and the Jordans and the onesies and all the things, instead of just saying to your friends and family, hey, for those first couple of years, like with these gifts that these children don't even know about, mm-hmm. can you put some money towards their college savings?
I love
right?
it.
I'm sure people would prefer not to have to go to Target and was it Baby Buy? What's the baby store? All the stores.
It's used to be Babies R Us.
That's gone.
Gone.
Yeah, but like to have to spend time in these retail stores and say, I gladly just give you some money towards their college savings. Just think about, you know, we talked about if you start saving at age zero, which is when people start giving gifts.
5 weeks.
Or 5 minutes, right? All you've got to do is come up with, again, $2,900 a year to get to $100,000 by the age of 18. It'd be even easier if you're taking contributions from grandma and grandpa, you know, from godparents, mm-hmm. from aunties, instead of, again, these clothes that they're going to grow out of, these toys that they don't even acknowledge because they rather play with cardboard. Like,
yeah,
get into the habit of making this a family effort.
Crowdsource it. Yeah, I will tell you as a parent, like, yo, you end up throwing away mad toys over time. And your kids don't really appreciate this stuff as much as they will appreciate not having student loans down the road. So, yeah, get in the habit of not requesting toys at birthday parties. Also, don't throw them these expensive birthday parties.
Facts.
Either. These expensive birthday parties should be redirected towards college savings,
plus,
in my opinion.
And if the expensive birthday party is really just your party that you're having and you spent more money on liquor than you actually did on child decorations, just say that then.
Yeah.
Like, just be honest about it.
That's a fact. So, the type of account you should save for college in is a 529 account.
Everybody hears about the 529 account and has so many questions. There's a ton of misconceptions. So stick with us. We'll talk about it more when we get back. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Hi, this is Donnie Rose, Chief Content Editor here at The North Star, encouraging you to check out thenorthstar.com every day for insightful, engaging commentary on the stories that impact our culture. The writers at The North Star make it our mission to advocate, mobilize, agitate, and disrupt in the name of creating liberation-centered content. We unapologetically center the narratives of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We understand that you can get news from anywhere, so we are more interested in offering perspective that speaks to the experiences of our audience. We write freely and with freedom on our minds. We invite you to indulge in our daily editorials and engage in the dialogue that will change the world. Momentum.
So we are talking about ways to financially prepare for parenthood.
Yes.
Right? The right way to make sure you're straight and your kids are straight. So before we went to break, we talked about the 529 plan. People think so many things about this 529 plan. Some are right. Most are wrong. There's a lot of things that you're not aware of. So let's talk about it a little bit more.
Yeah. 529 plan is a way to save tax-free for your kids' retirement. The best way to buy a 529 plan is going directly to your state's website or somebody else's state's website. Don't go through a financial advisor.
Yes, you do not need to pay somebody to set up a 529 plan for yourself. You can do this online, as Alan mentioned. Go to your state's website. Maybe you go to another state based on where you think your child may go. But either way, you can do this on your own.
The reason why you would first look at your state is that often there are some state tax incentives for using your state. Like if you invest in your state's plan, you might get, you know, some additional tax breaks either now or in the future. The reason to look at an additional state or a different state is perhaps there's really not much in the way of state tax benefits for you, for your state. Or maybe there's another state with a better plan. The costs are lower. The investment performance has been better, right? So you're not limited to your state. Also, it doesn't matter if your kid ends up going to school in that state or not, because this is a federal program. The tax-free nature of these accounts is federal. And so, again, it doesn't matter if you're in your state or not. So there's a ton of advantages for the 529 plan. Again, the money grows completely tax-free as long as it's used for college. Now, here's the disadvantages of...
But is that necessarily true? Like, isn't it as long as it's used for school or education, it doesn't necessarily have to be college?
Oh, that's a fact. Yeah, they changed the rules very recently where you can use it for private school, for a range of college expenses that aren't direct tuition. So you can use it for books. You might be able to use it for an apartment. Like, there's a lot of new ways that you can use a $529 for sure. So here's some of the disadvantages, and they're not enough where I should say don't do a 529. But the first disadvantage that everybody's worried about is, what if my kid gets a scholarship?
Ow.
Or what if the kid decides not to go? There are ways to move the money into the account of another kid or for yourself, right? Let's say nobody ends up using this money for college. You can just take the money out and pay the taxes. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 529 plan, we're very, very big fans on. You know, there could be a 10% penalty, but if you can prove, let's say that your kid got a scholarship, like you can avoid
some of these penalties.
For sure.
It would end up just feeling like a regular brokerage account, ultimately.
Where you just have
to pay taxes.
Yeah, not the end of the world. Not the end of the world. Maybe you fund your niece, your nephew, your godson.
Yeah, there are a number of, again, it has to go towards education, right? But it doesn't necessarily have to go towards the originally intended child.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a number of ways to offset this money and not feel like, you know, I got tricked or I got trapped. Or as we said, you can just, again, now you treat it like a traditional brokerage account and then you take the money out and you just have to pay taxes on it.
Yeah, and a 529 plan is also really good on financial aid. Like it's one of the best accounts you can have for financial aid. So also, you want to avoid doing an investment account in the kid's name.
Yes, for sure. Because that's not good for financial aid.
And you'll have to pay tax on that money, on the growth. And not only is it bad for financial aid, like the taxes can start to eat into your gains. Again, that's why we say, you know, there's a good chance your kid's going to need some money towards education, whether it be college or not. And so the 529 is the superior account to save for college.
Yeah, and a lot of times parents do all the things, right? They set up the investment accounts, they have brokerage accounts in their kids' names, savings accounts, and they're like, this is wonderful. which it is in certain ways, but I'm telling you, that FAFSA takes all of these assets into consideration, and they may determine that your child doesn't need any financial support because you've got all these things, all these really great things going for them. So you want to make sure you put money in the right vehicles that the FAFSA doesn't include potentially in your income or asset tally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're rounding out this list. We're almost done, but we still got some meaty things to get through. Make sure you do your estate plan. We've done how many shows on estate
planning? Tons of shows about estate planning, how important it is, trust fund babies, DIY estate planning. If you don't really have the money to pay somebody else to do it, but you want to do it on your own, just make sure that's in place. And if you listen to either one of those podcast episodes, you will know exactly why that's super important. This next one, I think, is a little bit touchy, so I just want to hop right into it. A lot of times when people have children, they're very quick to get life insurance on their children.
Yeah.
That's not something that we often think is very necessary, right? Like, in the unfortunate case that your child passes away, you're not looking, you don't need their income. You don't need any money from them in order for you to continue to survive or move forward, right? And so it's often like something that people just think they need to do. I think it's because you see so much marketing and commercials around it. What's that? That Gerber Life policy. Yeah. But if you think about it, you know, as an expense, what money do you need from your child in the case that they do pass away? Are you, you're not necessarily looking for a payday. I don't know if you will have any outstanding expenses that you will have to cover in the case that your child passes away. So if it's not something, it's not a necessary expense, we believe.
Yeah. And I'll give you the counter argument. This is the pro argument for getting your kid life insurance. It's not necessarily for their death benefit. It's so that they will have a policy that they can use to borrow against in the future. And so they can have a policy that will also, you know, just be with them for the rest of their life so that they're kids one day will receive a death benefit. But let me break down, I want to break down this Gerber Life policy for a second, because it gets promoted and like you're pregnant, you're buying the Boppy and the baby genie, and you're trying to figure out what are all the things I need for my kid.
Yes.
Let me break down what the Gerber Life thing is, right? So there's a policy that you would pay for a $10,000 death benefit. You would pay basically about $6.53 per month for that death benefit, right? So in a year, you would have paid about $78 a year, right? And they're promoting this as this great thing that gives your kid a great start in life. But again, the death benefit's only $10,000, right? At the end of 25 years, you will have contributed about $1,900 into that policy. Over 25 years, so your kid was born, he's now 25 years old. Guess how much cash value you can borrow from this policy?
$1,900.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? Like, I've paid over the course of 25 years $1,900 into a plan that I can now take $1,900 out of. Like, so it's not like some massive amount of money that you can take out one day. And it didn't grow. Not the benefit for the kid, it didn't grow. Maybe the death benefit at $10,000 might seem like a good deal. I paid $1,900, but if they die, they get $10,000. But over time, that whole life insurance gets, like, the benefit of that death benefit, it gets smaller and smaller relative to what you've put in, right? There will be a day where you've put in $4,000 for a $10,000 death benefit. So we don't think it's a great policy, because you would have been much better off putting that money into an investment account. So using that same example, you put $78 a year into an investment account that earns 7%. In 25 years, guess how much money you'll have, Tiffany?
$30,000.
Oh my gosh, you're way off. About $5,000.
Okay.
Right, so in the Gerber plan, you'd have $1,900. If you put it in an investment account, you'd have about $5,000.
In an actual cash benefit.
Yeah. And so we want you putting money away, but we want you doing it in a smart way. We don't think buying insurance on your kid is the best way. I will also say the parents that I see looking into this, often haven't done their own financial planning. They don't have an emergency fund. They don't have retirement savings. They don't have life insurance for themselves.
At least not enough, or outside of their employer.
And now they're looking at insurance for their kid, and they've got some other big financial priorities that have been neglected. So we're not a big fan of buying life insurance for your kid. We are a fan, though, of, you know, why not add your kid to your own policy as an additional insured through a child rider? Like, that might be a really inexpensive way if you're really worried about their burial expenses, is just add them as to your term policy. Why not? So I think we've exhausted the financial list, Tiffany.
Okay.
We should talk about some life parenting advice.
Listen, I don't know if they're about to take life parenting advice from me. I mean, I'm a godmom.
Okay, I'll start, and I think you'll be able to jump in with some good advice. Okay. First, you've got to model good behaviors in front of your kids. They need to see functional relationships. They need to see hard work, being a person of your word, treating people with respect. Like, these are basic fundamental things that you've got to be as a parent to make sure you're setting a good example for your kid. You agree?
I'm not touching this one.
Okay.
Here's the thing, right? Like, that's really great advice. But have any of us done that all the time? Parent or no parent, right? Like, always just making great functional relationships and always with the strongest work ethic. And
oh, my God.
None of us have been a solid role model for anything 24 hours
a day. Of course not.
So I am just saying, yes, that is very ideal advice, but do the best you can.
That's all we're saying.
Okay.
Not saying, like, none of this is like, yo, if you don't do this, you're a trash parent. But
right.
I'm saying, like, there are kids that don't grow up in households where they see parents going to work every day. What do you think is going to happen with that kid? Or there's kids that grow up and see nothing but fighting 100 times a day. Like, it's going to have a big impact on the kid. So just be mindful of it. That's all.
Okay.
Okay. Not being judgmental. Not on a high horse. Just saying, like, yo, these are good parenting tips.
Now, I want to add one that I really do believe in.
Okay.
Expose your kids to a range of professions and professionals, right? So that they have a wide variety of options to choose from, especially in the African-American household. Like, so many boys think, like, I got to play a sport or I'm going to be a rapper, right? Like, no, or you could be a surgeon, mm-hmm. or you can be a tax accountant. Like, you need to expose your children to a variety of professions and professionals mm-hmm. that you know. Like, don't downplay your aunt who, you know, runs a hair salon. Don't downplay your cousin who, again, does taxes. Like, these are all ways to really provide for your family and have a great life. And so show your children all of these people, talk about their professions, allow them to ask questions so that they know they have a ton of options and they're not limited to the stereotypical professions that they should or assume that they need to go into.
Your kid could grow up to own 5 dry cleaners, like how
facts
we are in that position thanks to the good Lord and our investors. We have 5 dry cleaners.
But
right
even
now.
I think about things like pharmaceutical sales, right? Like, I remember when we were graduating from college, a lot of people went into pharmaceutical sales and they made a lot of money. But I don't think that's anything that people talk about. Like, now are you, as a 4-year-old aspiring to, you know, sell naproxen and syringes? No. But, like, it's an option as a profession. Facts. Maybe you're a great salesperson and you have a slight interest in the medical industry. It's a great profession to be able to provide a very viable life for you and a potential family.
I love it. I love it. Introduce them to your Black financial advisors at Momentum Advisors.
Facts.
Why not? We'll talk to them.
Introduce them to your doctors, your dentists, like, everybody.
Yeah, that's a fact. Finally, we did a whole show on this. It's about teaching your kids about money, giving them responsibility early, making them do chores, just getting them to understand that they've got to contribute to the household in whatever way they can contribute at an early age. It'll set them up to be a responsible adult
right.
later in life.
Because we hear so many times, like, you know, I don't want my children to have to struggle. That is fine, right? Like, you don't want them to have to struggle for food and clothing and education, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't have to work,
yeah.
right? Like, learning to work, having a work ethic is viable to be able to have a successful life in whatever area, to be a successful adult, to have great relationships. And so you need to give your children responsibility. You need to make them work, whether it's in the household or outside of the household. It's not about struggling. It is about building a comprehensive human to deliver and drop off into the world one day.
Yeah, charge them rent. I'm a fan of that, but we've done a show on that.
Here's Alan, though. Here, Pete. Okay, yes, Alan's father charged him rent, and it's a beautiful story.
Yeah,
but let's keep it a buck. are you charging your child rent when he turns 18 years old?
Yes.
You are not.
I am.
Alan's child is close to 18 years old. Hopefully we are still doing this podcast. Guarantee I will check back in with y'all when he turns 8. Look, you should see the look on Alan's face.
I'm telling you.
I will check back in with y'all when Alan's son turns 18 years old. There will be no rent charged.
Okay. Watch. Right. Watch me.
Okay, wait.
Don't believe me.
Let's put an over under because it can't be like a $50 rent.
No, it'll be a legit rent once he's working.
Here we go.
Working like an internship, like the summer. Like I'm not charging him when he's in college, but during the time that my kid is home from college and he's working, my kid will pay rent absolutely.
What if he's home from college and not working? What if he doesn't leave? What if he stays home?
That's a problem.
What if he stays home through college and is not working during the summers, winters, spring?
That's a problem.
So is there rent or no rent?
He need to be studying rocket science or doing somebody's internship program that's unpaid. Like if he's working, he's going to be paying and he needs to be working on doing something productive. My kid's not going to sit at home.
All these asterisks?
No, I'm saying if the kid's not earning money, something productive.
Even if we still don't have this podcast at that point, check our Twitter at Momentum Advice. I'm going to update y'all on what's going down.
Final thing. Take lots of video. Yo, your kids are going to grow up so fast. And when I look at my kids today and I look at videos and pictures of them when they were little, I don't recognize them. You know, they don't seem like the same kids at all. So it's a precious time raising kids. Make sure you take lots of photos and lots of videos.
That's it.
Yeah.
And for us not having kids, ball out. Okay? That's the motto I live by. All right, we'll be back next week.
Not retire early.
Ball out. Okay?
Not build wealth.
Do the damn thing. Okay. All right? Shout out to us.
Yeah.
But to the parents,
rich aunties.
The rich aunties.
The bops. What are y'all called? Bips? Bops?
We're not. That's another show. We will be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.